It's time for Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Morena, Mayor Phil Goff, how are you on this Level 3 Tuesday?
Morena, Rachel. Yeah, they say a week's a long time in politics, and I was just thinking how happy and optimistic we were last Tuesday, and look what happens. You know, I think we probably did warn that, you know, these things, we're faced constantly with the threat of COVID-19. The excellent thing, I think, is that we're probably ahead of the curve, just judging from the limited number so far of community transmission cases, but we don't know everything yet. And the really important thing when we're going to go into a lockdown, which is a total pain in the ass, is that we do it early and we do it effectively in order to stop that spread. And that's what we've succeeded in so far, and that's what I'm looking forward to us succeeding in again. But do we welcome it? No. It's the costs right across the board are really huge in terms of businesses, jobs, incomes, sporting events that we were looking forward to, our personal freedoms to do whatever we want to do. But most of us understand why it's necessary.
Exactly. And I think, I mean, we're going to talk mostly about COVID this morning for good reason, but I think that is something we're all getting quite familiar with now. It's not a situation we want to be in, but it is a situation that I think people understand is necessary and important. The first thing I want to chat about, though, this morning with you is some calls that we're seeing for better messaging from the government and particularly better support for South Auckland, because they've been doing it rougher than anybody else has in this most recent couple of weeks. And Fesso Collins, who is the Manukau councillor, has been saying that we need to be using different channels to talk to young people particularly. He's been suggesting TikTok and other social media platforms. What's the rest of the council's position? How are you supporting the government's messaging rollout?
Yeah, look, I think you have to look at every form of communication, and you have to look at doing it better each time. I mean, for the average person that's reasonably informed, they will have been bombarded with advertising in the newspapers, on the radio, on television. They'll know the messages from before. I mean, most people can close their eyes and repeat the things that they're meant to do. But that doesn't mean to say that you get the message across to every corner of your community, and it's important to do so. But in saying that, I just want to say that I don't think that we should make excuses for breaches of protocol on the basis that maybe people didn't get the message. Unfortunately, I would think that some of the people that broke the rules got the message but were complacent about the risks that they were incurring. And it just so happens, you know, what might have seemed like an innocent walk between two women, during the lockdown, against the rules, turned out to be pretty disastrous in terms of spreading the new COVID variant from one family into another. The young man that went to the gym, did he really not know that was the right thing to do? He'd been in quarantine when he'd come back to New Zealand. He would have been told by his doctor. So let's not pretend that the real problem is, oh, we just didn't explain things well enough. Part of the problem is that people have got complacent, or some people have got complacent, and some people, you know, it's just a human failing that we all have. Oh, the rules are meant for others, they're not meant for us. So,
That might be the case, perhaps, but there has been probably quite a valid criticism that there is some confusion around some of the messaging, like what is a casual plus contact, for example. Some people are saying that that kind of language is a bit confusing. Do you think we could be seeing, as you say, we know there's no reason for us to get complacent. In fact, you know, we can't get complacent around these things. The whole point we've been so lucky is because we've been, you know, working really hard. But, you know, we do see probably quite a valid criticism that some of this new language we're seeing can be a wee bit confusing for what is a casual plus, what does it mean if you are, you know, in that group around a COVID case.
Yeah.
Do you think we could be seeing more streamlined messaging around that?
Yeah, look, I think that's a reasonable point. You know, one of the epidemiologists has said, look, maybe we just need to have a new set of levels, and it's 2.5 and 3.5. And, you know, look, I understand what he was saying, but my first instinct was try not to make this any more confusing than it is. We need to keep those messages simple and clear. And as the PM did when she first announced the four different levels we were going into, Look, in terms of the Papatoetoe High School cluster, I did get to read the letters that went home with every student or were emailed to their homes, and that set it out pretty clearly. But I agree, look, for those of us that weren't immediately involved in the cluster, we probably are just a little bit vague on what, close contact plus means or whatever. And it may be, in some cases, the health authorities could have done a better job. So I think we need to, as I've said before, we need to look at constant improvement in those areas. But let's not pretend that messaging was necessarily the critical factor in those cases where people spread the COVID because they did the wrong thing. And I've also said, you know, as angry as we all might feel about people not doing the right thing, I've heard calls from across the political spectrum, prosecute, imprison, fine heavily. We've got to be very conscious of the fact that if you start to go down that road, as much as we might feel it's merited because people have cost the rest of the community, what you do is you force people underground when they know they've done the wrong thing and they've got the symptoms. Are they going to turn up at the doctor? Are they going to go to the health authorities and say, I've met with these people and this is where I've been? And the answer is no. You'll force it underground and you'll make it much worse.
Well, we absolutely saw that happen in Australia when they did impose fines. That was something that was a direct consequence of that. People were just not forthcoming with the information. So no, I completely agree with you.
And that's why we're kind of, it's an old term, but we're governing with consent. We've got to do it by encouragement. And I agree with the Prime Minister that, when the government sends out an instruction, people kind of say, oh, it's the government, how can I get around that? It is also incumbent on all of us, friends and family, to say, hey, if you don't do the right thing, you're endangering yourself, you're endangering us, you're endangering your community. So it's that social pressure. And, when we talk about penalising those two women, boy, I bet they are feeling the full weight of the community sentiment about the thing that they did, but let's not pretend they are the only people that were guilty of not following the rules explicitly.
I was going to say, I think we should all probably check our glass houses before we throw too many stones around that. It's a message for all of us to just keep on keeping on.
I think that's right, Rachel.
Let's talk a little bit about the vaccine, because that is, a positive light at the end of this COVID tunnel. You've been calling for some prioritisation for South Auckland particularly, being a big gateway towards the airport and a lot of sites of contact where we might have some border contamination. But also you've been calling more broadly for Auckland to be prioritised. Now, why is that?
Yeah, I see on my Facebook site there's some very unkind people that call me a Jaffa from other parts of the country. I take that to mean just another friendly Aucklander. It's not about, we're big, we've got to come first. It's about we are the gateway city. That's where almost every international passenger in the arriving in New Zealand, returning New Zealanders, come to. We've got the overwhelming majority of the quarantine facilities. We are most at risk, shown by the fact that now four times we've been at level three and the rest of the country has been at level three once. It makes sense to get the vaccinations into those areas where the risk is greatest. Now, I'm not asking for the city as a whole to come before the quarantine workers, the border workers, the health workers, the people with comorbidities that make them a particular risk. I'm saying that when we've got the general rollout of the vaccine and you're looking at where you start, the obvious place to start is in Auckland, and in particular South Auckland, because of the fact we're at greater risk, shown by the fact that we're at level three again. But also in South Auckland, that's where you've got probably a higher number of people living in each household. The threat of contagion is greater for that reason. You've got most of the people that actually work in the border facilities living in South Auckland. So it just makes sense if you do it on a risk-based analysis to begin with Auckland. It's not blowing our own trumpet. It's just saying, Let's start where the risk is greatest, and if we start there, we're protecting not only Aucklanders, but we're protecting the whole country.
And now, very briefly, before we let you go, I just wanted to touch base on a concern that's come up quite a few times when we've had lockdowns, or just generally COVID scares, I guess. We see a lot of people in the centre of town, particularly working from home, where there's a lot of office buildings, and compounded with the major construction that's happening in the CBD at the moment, a lot of businesses are quite concerned about the lack of foot traffic that's coming through to small cafes and to restaurants and just spaces that would normally be buzzing at this time of the year. What is the council doing to support these groups? Because they are in a particularly difficult position at the moment.
They are in a difficult position, and the support payments, of course, come from central government because that's where the resources lie. I welcome the fact that the wage subsidy scheme will be reinstated automatically for Auckland, and that was about $585 per employee. I welcome the fact that we have concurrently with that the resurgence support payment, so that employers who are facing a move to level 2 and 3 can get a one-off payment of $1,500 plus $400 per employee, up to a total of $21,000. It's important to point out to people that have to get tested or have to be socially or isolated from the rest of the population that they are eligible for the leave support scheme. And there are other supports that are in place as well. Will that meet all of the loss of money? No, it won't, and it probably can't. When farmers undergo a massive drought, we give them some support. We don't compensate them for their full loss. And I doubt that the government is in the position to fully compensate everybody affected. They've spent $14 billion on the wage subsidy. But those big schemes, the wage subsidy in particular, everybody acknowledged they were of immense help to businesses, and I think they're a good starting point. I think that the government, particularly if this thing were to go beyond the 7 days, would need to have a look at maybe some more bespoke support systems, particularly for Auckland, if we're in a situation of being at level 3 and the rest of the country is kind of operating at level 2 come level 1, where they are affected but not affected in the same way. It is a heartbreak for all those businesses when, you know, we're looking forward to the T20 match, we're looking forward to the Lantern Festival, the Arts Festival, the America's Cup races. This is just another kick in the guts, and nobody welcomes it, but as we started this program by saying, none of us welcome it, but all of us understand it, or practically all of us.
Well, we'll probably come back to that topic because it's one that sort of applies to all levels, particularly when we start to move down again. So we will touch base on that one again in the future. But thank you so much for chatting to us this morning, Phil. We'll talk to you again next week.
And keep safe, everybody out there. You know, it is a tough period for everyone. And thank you for your resilience and thank you for your patience. And I share the other side of the coin, which is frustration. But it is what it is.
It is what it is. Thank you very much. We'll talk to you next week. Ka kite.
Okay, thanks, Rachel. Ka kite.
That was Sounding Off with Phil Goff.